Hello, and welcome back to the Home and Away podcast. My name is Albert Gim, also known as Garbage Time Gim, here, part of the No Ceilings NBA family. And I'm sure you guys heard from last week's episode with Stephen Gillespie, we're going to have a rotating cast of hosts for this show every Tuesday. And this week, it's my turn. And with me, and he's going to be with me every time we record, is a man that is near and dear to my heart, a close friend of mine, Josh Lee. Josh, if you can go ahead and introduce yourself, because you are new to the No Ceilings universe, but also not new because you've been kind of riding with us from day one. But if Josh, you could introduce yourself to our listeners.
Yo, this is your player partner, Josh Spice here, straight out of Los Angeles. No, I'm playing. Hey, this is Josh Lee. At Instagram, at Josh Spice, a little self-promo there. But no, we're just super hyped to be here. I don't know, a fanatic about different things, right? And two of the things I'm fanatic about are sports and style and money and how those things all kind of conflate together. And I thought No Ceilings being an incredible like basketball platform, I'm interested and always been more interested in the storylines and narratives and the money-making opportunities that evolve and exist within the sports. So that's a little bit of what I bring.
Yeah. First off, we love any and all No Ceilings praise. So that's probably why Josh is here today as well. No, but all kidding aside, it's really great to be here, guys. And I'm sure, I mean, if you know who I am, if you know me as the other half of the Draft Act NBA podcast, shameless plug, we here at No Ceilings, we're trying to diversify our bonds this year. Wu-Tang Financial, you know, we're trying to do more stuff, more fun stuff. We want to, obviously last year we kind of threw our hat in the ring and said, hey, we're going to cover a lot of NBA draft stuff. And we want to continue to do that. But we also want to talk about different things as well. Obviously, basketball related. We want to continue to talk about the draft. We want to incorporate more of the NBA. And I think where Josh and I come in is we want to talk a lot about NBA players, college players, but also like the different opportunities that are available to them on and off the court. As Josh mentioned, Josh is super into style. And if you were to ever meet Josh Spice or see him in the street, you'd see that this guy would be dominating League Fits or any of those different sites or channels or whatever, super into fashion. And we have a lot of buddies around us in our community that we're a part of that are super into fashion as well. And I think for us, what we want to be able to do on this pod is talk to you guys a lot about marketing these players and how there are opportunities for these players to tap into a world where they can do a lot more than just be athletes. And I think that's kind of where we are in our day and age today, where players are looking for different opportunities off the court. I was talking to Josh this past weekend, and he was talking about how Kevin Durant's got a production company. LeBron James has a production company. Seems like everybody has a production company. Or a podcast, right? Like even I was on TikTok the other day, and Pat Beverly's on a podcast now with, I think the guy's name's Roan. He used to be a battle rapper. Maybe he still is. I don't know. But so that's kind of like the gist of what we want to do every time you see our beautiful Asian faces on the screen or you hear our voices. And so before we get into all that, I think Josh and I, what we wanted to do today is give you guys a little intro of us, like we as people, but also like we as friends. The reason why we decided to do this pod is because we are such close friends, close brothers, and we kind of wanted to share, I guess, our journey as friends and our friendship and the things that we're into is kind of where I wanted to start. So, Josh, I know you introduced your Instagram handle and like what you're into and stuff like that. But if you can kind of introduce your journey and where you are and what you're doing to our listeners so we can get a better understanding of who you are. Let's round you out as a person is what I'm hoping to do to start.
Yeah, I have I think for me, how to get to know me is like I have this incredible desire to be bi-coastal, and I've always loved both coasts. And I'm originally from New Jersey, by way of Queens, but I always had this desire, this dream to live out in California, see what Los Angeles was like. And about 8-9 years ago, I moved to LA, and I've really made my adult life out here. I've become this has really become my entire persona, my entire pursuit is really not only making my way out here, but also enriching the communities out here, chipping in where I can and giving back to the communities that I live in and thrive in, whether that's Koreatown, Filipino Town, Silver Lake, where I've kind of resided. And I think the things that I've really, in that desire to be bi-coastal, the things that have really locked me into both coasts have been my sports affiliations, right? So I'm diehard. It's hard to say diehard when you're a Yankee fan, I guess, but the Yankees were my first love. Baseball was my first love. But also being like, you know, from the tri-state area, I grew up loving the Knicks as well.
Right.
Like I remember Larry Johnson in 99 in the 4-point play. That's one of my fondest basketball memories of all time. Right. And so I had those kind of two loves of my life springing me out from kind of holding me to the East. And that's how I follow all this kind of stuff. And then when I came out to the West Coast, I really had no desire to change allegiances at all. Like I think loyal to the soil is kind of interesting here. Like I know, especially when we're talking about the marketability of players, like there's going to be a new generation of fans who are very player centric, who have followed the LeBrons and the KDs across their entire career and kind of seeing what team they go to and support that team. But for me, it's always been staying loyal to one team. I think that's what makes sports fun. Not saying that y'all are wrong for liking players and rooting for teams of players. Maybe we'll talk about that more later. But I think the one thing I had room in my heart for really was soccer. I love soccer from when I was a kid. Loved following the Korean national team. Right. Had a Premier League alliance with Manchester United because of Park Ji-sung, who played out there for many years,
right,
winning titles along left and right along the way. I was also the captain of the Korean team. But I think the more I found out about soccer culture, I realized like there's this ethos of supporting your local, right? Supporting your local everything. I think we have the tidbits of that when it comes to like the Knicks, Yankees. Like we know the trains that you have to get to go there. The best food around there, but for soccer it always kind of felt out of touch. The Red Bulls were never really like a part of my periphery here. So when I came to LA, I really wanted a team, and I found Los Angeles Football Club, LAFC, was starting right when I moved here. And I just jumped on. I had some friends who were involved pretty early on, and now I'm one of the leaders of the Koreatown chapter of the LAFC supporters group, or a fan club, I think a lot of people would be familiar with. But yeah, I've really kind of meshed and melded my love for sports and community together through that. So you know what? I do a lot of the Twitter stuff. I do a lot of the IG stuff. I'm liking, retweeting, reblogging, all that stuff as we go along for sports especially. But I really try to live that out on in the communities in LA to really make sure that the impact around community and soccer and sports in general, enriching the community through sport, you know, making fields accessible, all that stuff. That's a big part of kind of my mission of what I'm doing out here. But also I think that's we have a lot of players involved in that kind of pursuit of making the world better through sport as well. So I think that's kind of where I find my correlation.
You know, Josh, something that you just said that I think is going to be, I think we could call it kind of like a linchpin of what we want to talk about as we go over these players and get into these players and talk about their marketability. What you just mentioned in terms of local teams, local support, local fandom, all that stuff, I think is really, really important for us to talk about and kind of lay a foundation, because as we start talking about different players, different cities, different teams, whatever, it's really important for us to remember that the way that we perceive a player and the idea that we have of a certain player or a team isn't necessarily going to be the status quo. Right. Depending on where the player is playing and the city that they're a part of, the community that they're a part of, I think is going to have a huge effect on their marketability, on the different opportunities that are going to come to them. I mean, look, if we look at a guy like Kevin Durant, we've already mentioned him a couple times. I mean, look, we probably know that he left Golden State because he felt like he was under the shadow of Stephen Curry. I think we can say that, right? But at the same time, part of the reason why he left too, I think, was because of the different opportunities that came with him being in New York, right? Being a part of Brooklyn. And the same reason why I think he left, not Golden State, he left Oklahoma City, right? Being in a small town, being a part of that culture, I think he wanted to move on to a different area and then maybe potentially be perceived differently and have different opportunities, right? So I think everything that you're saying about like the local part of sports, I think is really interesting and something hopefully we'll get, you know, more to have more opportunities to talk about. And yeah, and you know what, for Josh, you know, you talked about like your sports fandom and stuff like that, but something you and I definitely connect with a lot is we love watching movies. We love watching what we call, sorry, maybe the Ringer would call Prestige TV or whatever. I mean, like we were watching House of the Dragon. I know you're into the Rings of Power and all these things. You know, there's a lot of content that we consume, and we also want to throw in here, you know, as we talk about players and talk about all this stuff, we also want to throw in some of the pop culture or little zeitgeist type of stuff that we want to throw in here and talk about as well, because that is what's going to make us pretty distinct and interesting, you know. And for me personally, you know, Josh and I, we go back a long time. We've known each other since we were what, 14 years old, right? We've known each other for a very long time. We actually grew up together in church, and then, you know, my wife and I moved out to LA about 4 years ago, and Josh was a pivotal, if not the most important person in helping us get situated here in LA and finding communities and finding and making LA a home. Josh was a huge part of that and is somebody that I see you maybe 2 times a week right now. But the reason why we wanted to come together and do this pod, if I can kind of wrap up, put a bow on this section of our pod.
It's because all our friends are tired of us talking about sports in front of them. So we decided to do this in a more measured way. We've gotten active complaints.
We have.
No one understands what the hell we're talking about and what we're obsessed with. So
we have great friends. Shouts to JJ, Dave, everybody in our lives. But, you know, they don't necessarily love the things that we love and talk about all the time. So we found that this is probably a better outlet for all the stuff that we want to talk about and touch on, you know. So
yeah, I'm really hoping for the difference of active listenership versus passive listenership, which is what I find. The latter is what I find most of the time in my life in my waking hours. So, no, I'm excited to have this forum and platform, man. And yeah, I'm sorry. Wrap up the bow thing. I think we can talk about what we're calling this damn thing.
It's good. I hope you actively listen to what I have to say, and I actively listen to what you have to say. Okay, so this is actually like our first kind of segment that we want to do now. Josh actually came up with this segment. We want to continue to, you know, introduce ourselves to you guys. So we want what do we call this? Like a sports hero Mount Rushmore? Or how do you want to go about this part?
Yeah, it's like. Yeah, I guess a hero Mount Rushmore is good. I think we'll, you know, it's episode one where I think we're teasing out what kind of segments would work and kind of muscling out different
test
ways.
Kitchen.
So I thought, test kitchen style. I thought for the first one here today, we might do a little past, present, future of our sports heroes, our Mount Rushmores. Mm-hmm. So maybe I set off a past, you go present and future. How about that? Because you are kind of a looking ahead kind of guy.
Okay. Oh, so wait, you're doing past and I'm doing present and future?
Yeah, present and future.
Sure.
Cool. Okay.
Cool. I thought we were doing one each, but it doesn't matter to me.
Let's just keep it three. Let's keep it three simple.
Okay, cool.
Trinity number. Come on. Church is here. Church is live. my past hero, I think, and this is the guy we set the table for a lot of the way I think about how an athlete should move and act in the world and in his own life, and his life being the one and only Derek Jeter, the captain of my entire youth, the understanding of not only incredible Hall of Fame bat and Hall of Fame glove, fuck everyone. Except for that, because screw this. Screw everyone who says that he doesn't have a good glove, but you look at all the gold gloves, count them. The man has 3,000 plus hits, had the clutch gene, everything you need out of a player, hitting out of the number two hole, also wore the number two. And as Albert and I know, as card collectors, the number, the numerology of things, two of something feels incredible, right? So having that cemented as there. But also with Jeter, you not only had this on-the-field charisma and on the field kind of excellence here, but the off the field charm of the man, the way that he would kind of the New York press were vultures, right? They are brutal. They are for the most part, I think, horrible people. He had them eating out of his palm every single game after every post game. No one ever maligned him for saying anything. He just knew how to say exactly what to say without giving away too much, but also never selling out his players, never selling out his coach, and just like kind of control the media. And the third prong of this is that, I mean, just the history, the dating history, incredible. Who knows if the gift basket story is true? It's true. But just the fact that aura, that allure exists within one person with a $6 million to $20 million apartment in the middle of New York City. Like, for you to roll like that in the city and to be anonymously there is like a feat, man. You can't be dating Mariah Carey, living in the city, and also have the same kind of anonymity that Derek Jeter has. Mm. And that's the kind of person he is. I think people still strive to be like him. That's why I think people, like the current day players, geek out whenever he makes a visit. So yeah, Jeter is the, you know, Mount Rushmore of my passion. You know? He kind of encapsulates a lot for that.
Okay. Couple thoughts. Cause you're the Jeter guy. You absolutely love Derek Jeter. I also love Derek Jeter, but I don't think I love him to the extent that you do, right? For me, when you were talking about his defense and all the gold gloves, it immediately reminded me of, you know that...
Oh, you cut out that one. You see, you try to slander the god. That's what happens. You see?
I'm look pressing at that. You, but no, my mic.
Albert's trying to talk shit, talk crap about some of the gold gloves, and he turns off his microphone like a clumsy oaf.
I immediately thought of the soccer coach clip where he goes, "Sometimes I may be good, sometimes maybe shit." You
know that one? Shout out Gattuso, the god.
Oh, is that who it is? Okay. I immediately thought of that because I always thought Jeter was okay with the glove. He's iconic for the jump throw, obviously. I did have a question, Josh. Don't kill me for this. I'm asking this as a genuine question, right? So recently, Derek Jeter got his documentary, The Captain.
Yes.
Okay. They shot it in the way that they shot like The Last Dance for Michael Jordan, right? The whole long thing. For me, a small part of me really wondered, like, did Jeter deserve that documentary? You know, like, so Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player of all time, right? Uh-huh. Anyone who's younger than 25 would say also they'll probably say LeBron, which I don't agree with, but it's fine, whatever. For Michael Jordan, he was consistently the greatest player of his generation for a very long time. So a Last Dance type of documentary makes sense to me. As much as I love Derek Jeter, you mentioned all the accolades, 3,000 hits, whatever. I felt like giving him a doc felt a little over the top. Now you can tell me why I'm wrong.
You're wrong. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think agreed. I think Michael Jordan is the most important athlete in the last 50 years, right? Let's just say that. His influence, I mean, look at the first billion-dollar man, right, that's come out of sports as a player and all of his investments, right? I think that's – he's kind of, like, unreachable in that way. Mm-hmm. And I also think that the sport of basketball and baseball are quite different in terms of, like, there's five players on the court versus nine on the field, right?
True.
And so the influence that one person has on winning is debatable, right? Mm-hmm. But I think – Derek, it's more, it's as all the off the field stuff mixed in with the five championships in New York. Mm. And like, there's no bigger baseball star outside of Barry Bonds, I'd say, in that area that we're talking about. Mm. And no one, and Barry doesn't want to talk, or no one wants to talk to Barry right now. So I think it's a mix of that. I think it made sense. I think also ESPN and kind of the East Coast media loves to build up.
Yeah.
Exact guys who've survived the gauntlet that they put them through. So Jeter being like the A1 case of that, they wanted to give him a doc. Yeah. Got that. For the, even as a Yankee fan, I'd say for like the narrative push or the attractiveness of the doc reception afterwards, I'd say it's just kind of tough. I think Derek's sound bites have always been so clean, right?
Yeah.
Mike, since he's been out of the league, and people knew this of him at the league too. I mean, we definitely found that out in The Last Dance. Was like, he was a shark and a killer, and he was probably not a morally great person and manipulative how he was. Mm. I think Derek was smooth. Michael was a killer, and so I think maybe that doesn't play as well on camera in a reality TV series. But I think the reasons I stated before about it, about the rings, winning in New York, biggest star in baseball's pastime in the last, you know, in that era, and also like dating history, like he didn't even touch on that. That's what they wanted to build him on. I get what you're saying, but I think if I thought about any other star or who would represent baseball in that way, it was there.
Okay, no, that's fair. I thought of it very just like I don't know, just at a base level. I was like, look, Michael was for a long time the best at his sport. it makes sense to me. But you make a good point. And honestly, the point that you make speaks exactly to what we want to cover on this pod, right? Like the off the court stuff with Jeter was unbelievable. He just gave a couple of quotes last week that I thought were incredible, talking about the current Yankees. So it's that. Okay, so I'll go, right? My present star sports hero is actually not from a New York team. And you're going to give me a lot of crap for it, but I like this guy and I want to have a conversation about him. So recently I was at Josh's house and we were talking about like, what is it like for people our age to buy jerseys? Cause we still do. At least I still do. And I think, no, Josh, you do too as well. What is it like to be at our age and to potentially buy the jersey of a player who doesn't play for one of our favorite teams? And the reason why this conversation came up was because I really, really love watching these two players. And one of them is Luka. Luka is incredibly fun for me to watch and I think is also marketable. And the other player that I really enjoy is Cade Cunningham. These two guys, actually, sorry, you know what? I'll leave Cade to be my future. Okay, so my present right now is Luka. My future is Cade. So they're, and honestly, they can both kind of flip flop because Luka's so young, he could be a part of the future as well. But my thing with Luka that I love so much is that he has, I think he's inherited the spirit of the Gen Zers today. And what I mean by that is he is very much aware of his star power. He's very much aware about his influence on the court and off the court. I think like every time it's the off season, the paparazzi or whatever, they find him on the streets just smoking cigarettes, not that he smokes cigarettes. I don't think he was smoking, but just like drinking a beer, having a good time, enjoying like a huge spread on this gigantic, beautiful table in Europe somewhere. And he's just enjoying himself. And I love that aspect of Luka because I really think he's the type of guy right now where he's like, oh, like he looks at the rest of the league. He looks at like the landscape of the stars. And he's like, oh, this league is mine right now. Like I can have it right now. Giannis, cool. You're good. You want a title? I'm coming for your throat, right? LeBron, you're old. I'm coming for your throat. I feel like Luka has this energy about him where he knows that he's great. And also he's very much himself and doesn't care what the world thinks about him so much. And I don't know if that's like a Euro thing. I don't know. I'm not from Europe. Josh has been to Italy before, so he's probably a Euro guy here.
I've
on the
also been to France. So, oh, I mean, yeah. Can you respect my time, please?
So Josh is probably our Euro expert here. I've never touched earth in Europe before. But I think with Luka, he's it's the mix, right? He knows he's great. He's got no fear about it and he's bold about it. And on top of that, like in his personal life, off the court, whatever, he's like, cool, you can take photos of me drinking a beer. I do not care because even if I drink this beer and maybe I'm a little doughy around the edges, I'm going to step on the court and dominate all your favorite stars. So that's my present guy that I love about Luka. That I love so much, Luka. And my future guy is Cade. And the reason why
Cade, I just want to hit on a couple of points. Maybe this is a little fun segment idea we have here. Mm-hmm. After what you said about the beer and like, I can show you, I don't mind you having fun. I have a celebrity comp for Luka.
Uh-oh.
We're talking about Luka Doncic is comparative to the one and only Rihanna. Rihanna, social media presence.
Okay.
Incredibly chill. She knows the paps are out there watching her sunbathing. She'd be eating. She'd be going on dates, like hooking up with guys. And her extensive list of like very rich, handsome, wealthy men who have courted her. All that stuff is out there. And she's just having a blast, having fun. And but not only does she do that and she can show that side, she's a businesswoman, crazy successful. And everyone's waiting for her to body her next album because they know what she's capable of. But I think the idea of like the lack of polish or finesse around the social media life, I think gives it it makes them really likable to me. I've always loved Rihanna because of that, because like when you see her like on the one recorded segment she goes on, interview segment, she's either like flirting with A$AP Rocky or she's going on Seth Meyers' show and then they're just getting drunk together at a bar and talking. I'm like, that's like a ridiculous thing for your agent to be like, do that, that's your thing. But like I think it really speaks to like her star power and her confidence, and I think Luka has that in spades. I'd say the one thing that kind of bothered me about Luka in the past was that there was a after his rookie year, there was this incredible desire to crown him early, as what you're saying now about coming for the throat and like about going after Giannis, going after Bron and all those guys. And I think Luka definitely thinks like that, which is what makes probably one of the reasons why it makes him great. But I think the way that the NBA kind of news cycle like made this guy the hero, even though the team constructed around him was absolute trash, like, and maybe that's part of it too. I was like, okay, it's too early. I don't think you've earned that yet. I do think that after the run last year and especially coming to this year where it seems like he's figured a lot of things out, maybe that's the conversation is ripe for now. And I think that's a great addition to the present list.
I'd say, Josh, New York Knicks legend Tim Hardaway Jr. would like a word in terms of you calling the supporting cast.
Right? I actually liked him. I liked it. I liked it when he got drafted, too. Two-time Knick legend. Once a Knick. Also, what Luka speaking Spanish with Blake Griffin in Mexico. Yes.
The best.
Star power. Like, wattage. Like, you can see, like, the boys blowing up. It's and just having him compared to Blake Griffin in that way, you just see trajectories going on and off.
I love the Rihanna comp. And also, like, as you were describing the Rihanna comp, in my mind, I was like, yeah, that's a really good one. But also, if things go really bad, the better comp might be Ben Affleck is where my head went to.
That's actually really good. The Dunkins and the cigarettes.
The cigarettes, the absolute face of anguish. But also, like, Ben Affleck just dates really hot women and he loves, you know, having them taking photos of him and these beautiful women all the time. He's married now to J-Lo, right?
They got married.
Legends.
To Gigli. Okay. I mean, Luka had better teeth than Ben back in the day. So I think he got a one up on that. He might have avoided the Ben curse.
Okay, so that's my present guy. My future one's Cade. Now, Cade is a little bit difficult for us and what we're trying to do because Cade is way more reserved in terms of his persona.
Yes.
Cade is the silent killer. He is the there aren't really like too many frills to his game, which is why for me as like a basketball nerd is the reason why I love watching Cade so much. Even heading into this 2022-23 season, I actually spent like a legit week just watching Cade Cunningham film through his rookie season. And I can't tell you, I mean, I mentioned this to Corey a little bit, but I can't tell you how much I love watching that guy play basketball. And for me, if I think about him as a star and a star persona, I would say we would definitely pull a lot of his persona from what he shows on the court. Cause I don't think there's much there off the court. I don't know. I could be dead wrong, but he isn't that loud, like effervescent type of personality. That's going to be really, I don't know, that entertaining off the court, but there might be a potential there where you start to market him as like a silent killer. Maybe you can even angle him as like, I don't know, maybe even like, hey, rest in peace, but maybe even like a Kobe type in terms of personality where it's like performance based and all business, no play, really cares about his craft, things like that. I think that's the opportunity there with Cade. But for me, like the main reason why Cade is my future guy is because of what he actually does on the court is so beautiful for me to watch. And I'm hoping there's an opportunity to kind of take that and tailor it into something more, and he becomes one of the marquee stars of the league very soon, not just because of what he's doing on the court, but maybe there's a way to kind of incorporate that all. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think I like Cade because he's handsome, and we'll talk about that point in a little bit. You know, that's it for me. He does rap though. I think he does have a rap. He has kind of a mixtape out, but I do think the quiet persona that follows him, I remember seeing the first time when I thought was fade for Cade, I said that as a Knick fan, right before, like right after the lockout, not a lockout season, the COVID season, but his like kind of did like a 24/7 OK State kind of like behind the scenes thing where they followed a day in the life of, and I was like, oh my god, this guy looks like a grown man, like at 18, like that stuck out right away, and I don't know, I hope that the game stuff and translates into it. I like him in Detroit, to be honest. I think. NBA is better when it's not just the Bulls like in the middle of the country, like Detroit being a force. I think it's good for the league and for the game too. So yeah, I can't say I know enough of him, but like I'm also like he's playing with Jaden Ivey all of a sudden, right?
Right.
Like, for some reason I'm always like, oh, I think Jaden Ivey is gonna be the more like popular guy, but Cade is. That team hinges on how good Cade does and how well Cade plays, right? So, as any future pick. right, time will tell. And but I'm excited for it, man. I'm a fan of Cade's too. I just don't watch a lot of Pistons games, so we'll have to kind of tune in. But yeah, we'll put our review of Cade's mixtape in the comments.
Yeah, no, I just think, you know, also they brought back like the teal 90s jerseys, and I thought that was really smart of them to do. And I think a lot of teams are doing that right now, tapping into that 90s energy and bringing back 90s courts and all that stuff, because those jerseys were the absolute best. They were fantastic. So
the Grant Hill ones, man.
Yeah, dude. Guys. Jerry Stackhouse, like, bring those back. And they did. So credit to them. I think that was a really good job. So, okay. So we'll wrap on that part of of our pod today, and we'll move on to something that so we want to kind of do a hybrid here where we want to introduce something that we'll be doing every single episode, but then not necessarily do it either, because we want to kind of keep you guys on edge and kind of give you a reason to come back next time. But what we're hoping to do, and we don't really have a name for it yet. I know in our notes, Josh, you put like on and off, plus minus, but essentially what we're hoping to do is every episode break down one, two, maybe even three prospects and talk about who they are, why we think they're marketable, and how we would try to market these players. Is that a fair description of what we're trying to do, Josh?
No, that's absolutely correct. I do have that's correct. We'll go into my background a little bit.
Yep. But
no, I love that it's being like, hey, like what I love about No Ceilings, let me just say it like this, No Ceilings and the name of it. I remember Corey and you talking about the name, finding the name of it. It's like,
yeah.
Genuinely, as a draft podcast, what you guys have done so well is that you root for these, I mean, kids, like these students, right, to come up. Right. And the fact that No Ceilings really means like, we hope that everyone makes it. We hope everyone, even the people we're not so high on, right, prove us wrong, find a new pocket of their game that they unlock and become incredible basketball players for the league and for beyond, right? Mm. And so I think that idea of like No Ceilings and making sure like these guys get paid for their incredible skill and not only become paid, but become an important part of culture on top of that is kind of, you know, it's the heart of this podcast, and also the heart of, I think, No Ceilings is that, hey, let's really make it so these guys pop off.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, Josh, this might be the perfect segue. So as we're talking about these players, the reason why, look, I'll be honest with you guys probably know me by now, but so us doing this pod together, the Home and Away pod, and we're probably have like a sub name for it for when we hosted. But the reason why we're doing this pod is I'm kind of like the more basketball-y guy, and Josh, the reason why Josh is here doing this with me is because this guy is an absolute star in his field, and he's doing big things in the world of advertisement and marketing and all these things. So Josh, I know it's difficult to talk about yourself sometimes, but if you could tell our listeners a little bit about what you're doing currently and why you would be someone that potentially one day, hopefully, fingers crossed, NBA players would want to come to you on advice on how to market themselves and how to advertise themselves, because it's something that you're doing currently with NBA stars.
Yeah, no, it's right now I'm working at an agency that does mostly Pepsi Frito-Lay products. And I think the snack kind of industry is interesting, right? Because they've align themselves with hoops culture very closely and very tight-knitly. And I think through my experience through other agencies, like, I didn't start off with a sports marketing thing. I just love sports. I love ball. And naturally, I found myself in these rooms after kind of coaxing that out of my bosses. It was like, hey, I know this stuff. Let me pitch a couple ideas. And eventually it became like, hey, whenever I worked for car companies and Kia and Hyundai, who do incredible like Super Bowls and NBA team sponsorships, to more recently, I've worked with Mountain Dew and Ruffles on a lot of NBA All-Star activations, NBA All-Star partnerships. And most recently, I just came off a huge project with Klay Thompson from Mountain Dew and Ruffles with LeBron James, Jason Tatum, Asia Wilson, and Charles Barkley. And so those are some of the things that's been going on in, like, because I love this thing so much and naturally, like, I'm a marketer, I'm a brand person. I've been finding myself in these rooms more and more often where when brands and want to partner with athletes, I come in and help out with the creative, like the creative script writing, some of the even like full 360, like some of the activation stuff, the experiential. So when you guys walk into an auto show or when you guys walk into All-Star, if you see like a Dew booth with like a cool like free throw thing, then more than likely myself or someone on my team has thought about that concept. And I think what's interesting here is that I've gotten to see a lot of firsthand about who really, really pops on screen mm-hmm. and who really pops in a live experiential thing. Like mm-hmm. for Dude this year, for the All-Star game in 2022, we partnered with Drewski, with Gunna, and Drewski kind of hosted the entire All-Star weekend for Ruffles and Dude. And right. then we had like all these players show up. We had Zach LaVine out there shooting in a three-point contest with Dr. Disrespect and all that. So I think the idea here is like, I have a pretty decent idea of what sells and what pushes well, what'll play well. And I think I want more of these. I want more athletes to really engage in that way because like, hey, advertising money makes sure these guys get paid even more money. So the better they are as spokespeople, as representatives, like the better it is for all of us, right? Because then you not only get better content, but you get players who are really like involved in the process. And so, yeah, that's a little background on me. Like, I love seeing like the LeBron. I love seeing Uninterrupted. I love seeing Spring Hill. Right. I love seeing even like KD. So I'm not a huge fan of KD, but I like seeing what him and Rich Kleiman are doing and seeing what's next with that. Because there was like this really like this barrier between athlete and marketing company. Mm-hmm. And now if there's more oversight and more overlap, hopefully the content gets better. And hopefully these athletes do feel more ownership over their own content and likeness. And so hopefully I'm become, as you said, like the person who can help bridge that with good ideas and also treating these guys and girls like humans.
Mm. No, that's great, man. And you know, so recently we were talking and about some of the projects you've been working on, and I think this is like a really good connecting question to what we were just talking about. Not that I'm complimenting my question here, but you mentioned Asia Wilson, right? And something that you said to me, I think this was just like 2 days ago, right? You were like, dude, Asia Wilson, star, right? And so like when you said that, immediately in my head I was like, okay, Asia Wilson star. Like I believe that. When you say it, I believe it, right? However, what I was thinking, I was wondering is, in your world and in your context specifically, what is it that you guys are looking for that makes you go, oh, X player star or X celebrity or whoever star? What are certain, I guess, like touch points that make you go, okay, this person is a star and we want to invest our money and work with them?
Yeah, man. It's We really pride ourselves. I think me and you both pride ourselves on like being able to spot a star when we see one, right? Like we want to make the prediction early about like this. Like I think this person is going to really make it. I believe in this person. But I think, you know, living in LA, we run across celebrity signings a lot, and we often talk about, oh, like some of them, oh, they're shorter than I expected, or like they're just like kind of acting like normal. What I'm obsessed with, and I think what Hollywood and like all the tabloids are obsessed with, is when you see a star, they feel like a star, right? They make you feel like the gravity sucked in towards them, right? Like it's that star wattage quality, that it factor that they always talk about. And how is that commodified? I think it's a couple different ways, man. I think it's acting chops is one, right? But the ability to have like this kind of bedside manner on set too, of being like, hey, we know these players are being pulled in every direction, but when it's go time, like, what do you look like? Does your game face translate into this kind of extracurricular thing for you to try and make money? And for Asia, let me just tell you, for the thing, like, there's times when she's like conserving energy, right? She's like on her phone and all that. But as soon as the cameras are on, she's like, what do you need me to do? And then just one take, it's like one take Drake, right? She's like, Asia, we need you to hold the basketball, give me a smile, point this way, say this line. She hits it every single time, right? And the fact is, like, she is so charismatic, and not only can she act, she can dance, incredible smile. And so like all these things like work for her to become like super marketable, right? Like after on the same set, after our day was done, Spotify had an hour with her to do an interview. And then she was doing a heartfelt interview right after all that comedy. Jeez. Where she's talking about her mother and her grandma and her recently deceased grandmother, and just talking about how important it is for her as a Black woman to really show young Black girls what it means to be, you know, what it takes to be in the league. And, you know, she's like kind of crying through that. I'm like, the entire spectrum of emotion is on there. And there's a lot of people like Albert, you've been around these like emotional touchpoint rooms. Like there are certain people like where the authentic reactions that happen on camera.
Yeah.
That's so precious. And I get why people are weird about taking photos sometimes, because that's such a solid kind of little moment to yourself. But those people who are able to share that with the outside world, that's the people that you bet on, especially in this industry.
Got it. No, that makes a lot of sense. That sounds a lot like when we're breaking down prospects and we talk about versatility, right? We want guys who can do multiple things on either side of the court. And it sounds like with these stars, what you guys are looking for is that type of versatility, right? Being able to, and like on a lot of different levels as well, right? You talked about like the acting and the looks or whatever, the smile, whatever, the humor, and then also like the emotional aspect of it, hitting different touch. But that sounds incredible. That actually sounds really great. And you know, Josh, with that in mind, obviously we're going to be talking about these different players and whatever. And something that's very interesting for us that we're going to be able to dive into is as we cover these college basketball players, these foreign players, G League Ignite, Overtime Elite, whatever, the new wrinkle of the NIL stuff, right? Name and image likeness stuff is going to be another really interesting layer for us to cover, because up until now, right, when it came to marketing and advertising, it was pro athletes. These are athletes who are drafted to NBA teams or whatever sport it may be, right? But now, due to the new NIL stuff, we're going to be potentially talking about, okay, how can this high school player market himself? How can this college player market himself? From what I understand, I think Bronny James, I don't know if he did or is rumored to sign a deal with Nike and stuff like that. Like, all of that is really new stuff, right? And I think that's another thing that's going to be really interesting for us to talk about, because suddenly we may have a conversation of, okay, there's a 16, 17 year old player who is an absolute, as you would call, star in terms of their personality and what they can do on the court. How then can we market this 16, 17 year old, let's call it their kids, right? How do we market this kid and turn them into a global star as a teenager? I think that is also a very interesting new layer that we're going to be talking about moving forward.
Yeah, no, I think that's solid, man. I think the NIL stuff, I was just even thinking about Cade when you mentioned him. Like, if NIL was just coming around the corner, I thought like Cade is a more quiet, more soft-spoken guy. Like, what could he have done with like a full NIL kind of benefit there? And how would they have kind of, you know, branded him, benefited him in that way? At the same time, dude, I mean, the reaches of and the tentacles of the marketing arm have already kind of given us a showcase. I mean, look at tennis, right? Like these young girls, 15, 16 years old, right? I think Naomi Osaka is the one from a while ago. And now I'm forgetting the young girl who beat
Coco.
Coco, mm-hmm. incredible, right? Signed with New Balance, right? Shortly after, right? Just the phenom, like brands know when to take advantage of someone, like, and get on the train, a bullet train when they're hot. And so it'll be interesting, man. I think the tennis example is incredibly lucrative for these players. Hopefully, with all the incredible social media presence that these young kids are cultivating, you know, they're branding themselves, you know, they're turning themselves into kind of long-term projects. But I think it's exciting for us to talk that through, because like, I know, yeah, I've been following Bronny's photographer for like 3-4 years now. Cool Mac. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like this guy, like just this young kid who just like was like revolutionizing things as he took pictures of Bronny and Sierra Canyon. Like,
yeah,
dude's been on the scene for a minute. Mm-hmm. So no, excited to see how that kind of turns.
No, for sure. And overall, Josh, I think the biggest thing that we're going to come to see as we talk more and more about it is that we are in such this is right now where we're at is it's the early stages, right? Like I remember last draft class looking into a guy like Dalen Terry. I was a big fan of his game. I think he had like his own website where he was like selling his own merch and selling his own T-shirts. And to be honest, the merch and the T-shirts didn't look the best. They weren't fantastic, but you start to see like, okay, we're now still just starting to feel things out. And I think as we cover more players and we talk about these teenagers, I think it's going to be really interesting. And I think there is going to be a great market that is, to this point, still a little untouched, untapped, right? There's so much potential to what we can do, or not we, but the world of advertisement can do with these younger players. And I think we're just starting to scratch the surface. So I think that's going to be something that's going to be a lot of fun for us to talk about. And we're kind of getting to the end of our pod today. And all we wanted to do was kind of lay a foundation with our listeners today, get you an idea of who we are as people, what this show is going to be about. And the closing segment that we're going to try to do every single episode is what we call, or we're hoping to call, I don't know, maybe we'll call this, still workshopping a lot of things, but we're thinking about calling it show and tell. And in show and tell, what we want to do is talk about something that we've either watched or experienced in the past week. It could be pop culture. It could be an in-person event. It could be something that, I don't know, Josh and I are big shopaholics. We love consumerism. Maybe something that we purchased recently, or actually maybe we're at a point where the both of us are trying to save money and potentially buy a house. I don't know what life phase you guys are in. But
buy less, buy better.
I know. I think we're kind of in a weird place right now. But anyway... show and tell, Josh, but why don't you go first? What's something that you want to introduce to our listeners and talk about?
Yeah, I think this is kind of on brand for what we want to do with the podcast. It's first off, I am a YouTube premium member. I just want to say that.
Congrats.
That means I'm just better than 85% of the people. No, it's truly, I feel like I'm flying most
days. No, same. I'm with you. I can't deal with the ads.
No, not anymore. But there's this YouTube channel called Athletic Interest that talks about the business of sports. And I think that could be kind of it's a little dense sometimes, right? You have these Twitter threads about LeBron James's 10 best investments, right? Which is kind of fun too. Blaze Pizza, all that stuff. But Athletic Interest, there's a video they made called on Brazil and the Nike sponsorship and how Nike essentially controlled the fate of the World Cup a couple different times. And because they wanted to make Brazil, they wanted to use Brazil's stardom, but also elevate them into this kind of global marketplace. It talks to you about some of the incredible marketing work, the advertising campaigns that came out through that. The Joga Bonito campaign is one that comes to mind, but also how that campaign becomes this richer version of the real life thing. And that's what I think people remember the campaign more so than even the World Cup games themselves sometimes. So that I think is a really interesting way. They talk about how much it costs for to design a kit and to sell a kit and to sell a jersey. But yeah, the Athletic Interest and Brazil and Nike sponsorship. I find out about that. I think that's it's quite a good one.
Dang. I did not expect you to go so, I don't know, professional nerdy.
Are you going to say The Office right now or something?
No. I'm a refined gentleman. Okay. I only watch Prestige. No, I love The Office. I always have The Office playing. You shouldn't shame me for that. Okay. So for me, there are a couple of things I wanted to talk about right before we started recording. I watched a video clip of Taco Fall dominating in China. Did not know that was a thing that was going on. Shouts to Taco Fall. Have you seen the TikToks?
No.
You should watch this. I don't remember her name, but I think she's from the UK, but she goes it's the weirdest video ever. Like a million trillion views on TikTok. Make sure you watch that. It's not that relevant, but you should watch it. what else did I want to talk about? Before we started recording, I saw a tweet about there potentially being some Obi Toppin trade rumors going around. Oof. Or something like, you know, he's the one guy to look out for that might request a trade because of X, Y, and Z. I absolutely hate that. Josh and I are big Obi fans. Josh is more, you know, I give you the props. You were in on Obi before I was. I famously, on different pods with Corey, actually questioned the selection of Obi Toppin at number 8 for the Knicks, but now I love him because he's one of our own and we love our own. Right?
He's one of our own. Yeah.
The last thing I want to talk about was House of the Dragon. If you guys have not watched House of the Dragon, season 1 just wrapped on HBO. I'm actually going to be talking about one of the characters on that show in my piece that will be dropping later this week, or actually on Thursday for NoCeilings.com. I'm going to be talking about Brandon Miller and comparing him to Aemon Targaryen, who was probably, in my opinion, I don't know, Josh, you may feel differently.
Loser.
I really thought he was one of the most interesting characters on the show because of everything that he wasn't even like the main. He wasn't one of the co-leads like it was like Rhaenyra and Allison. But I thought he was really, really important. And I thought they did a lot of interesting things with his character. And I enjoyed that a lot. So anyway, if you guys have not watched House of the Dragon, the hell are you doing? Go get an HBO Max subscription if you can't afford it. DM me and I will I can't help you. I'm sorry, guys. I'm not that rich to get you an HBO subscription. Truth be told, Josh and I are actually sharing subscriptions because, you know, that's life. You know, you got to share.
It's hard out here.
It's hard out here, man. We live in LA where gas is $9 a gallon. You know, we try to make things work.
Damn, we just gave all this spiel on like making players millionaires all this money, and we're talking about sharing HBO Max. This makes us look weak, bruh. What are we doing?
Hey,
watch Rings of Power on Amazon Prime. We have to. I also can't help you there because I'm sharing an account with someone else. with my dad. Better. Let's go
that way. I personally couldn't get into Rings of Power. We've talked about this.
Just watch it.
But you're such a Lord of the Rings guy. Like that's like a part of your personality.
Yeah, another YouTube premium recommendation, Nerd of the Rings. It's a video essay channel on Lord of the Rings lore.
Please don't watch it. Don't watch
we're trying to get Kate on next season 2 of Rings of Power. How about that?
What? what's he gonna be? An orc?
He can be an elf, bro. There's black elves now.
No, but okay. Are they that tall?
That's why the queen died.
Aren't elves?
They're fantastical creatures. They could be as tall as they want. There's talking trees. What are we talking about, bro?
They're fantastical creatures.
You don't think Cade could be in Lord of the Rings? Jeez,
maybe. Maybe. Okay, he can't be a dwarf, though, for
sure.
He
could be Sauron. I don't give a care.
Oh, put him in there. That's a good one.
Pat Beverly will be Sauron, though.
Jesus Christ. Or Taco Fall. Yeah. I was going to say something else, but you totally threw me off with this Rings of Power stuff. No one cares about Rings of Power. Can you take that off, please?
It's an incredible show. It's an incredible feat of filmmaking.
But okay, guys. I think we'll wrap it here before you guys get bored of our nonsense. But this is kind of what our pod is going to be like. These are two guys who like a lot of things. We're into a lot of things, Josh. We really are. Is this nerd culture? Is this how you define nerd culture? Or are we cooler than that? Tell me.
I'd like to think we're cooler than that, but we probably aren't, you know? Like, who talks about it like this, right? No, it's cool. Honestly, like, Albert and I are here because we, again, our friends don't want to listen to us talk mm-hmm. about this stuff, but we generally, I literally, this is, like, where I get, like, a lot of pleasure and joy from. It's, like, about this, like...
Pause. Excuse you.
Pleasure. I want to be pleasured in these conversations, you know? So, so Trojan sponsored the pod. You know, we're looking for sponsors. I don't know if we have to run that by Corey yet.
Pleasure partners. Let's go.
Pleasure partners. New segment alert. Oh. Wait, did we even talk about the name of the podcast? We're going to save that for another episode.
Well, I mean, we haven't decided, right? Maybe our fans, we already have fans. That's where we are. We already have fans of the pod. Maybe you guys can help us. What was your favorite one?
Big Baller Brand.
No.
I literally wrote, I came to that conclusion of Big Baller uh-huh. Brand, and I was like, I think I found it. And then I was like, oh my God, am I LeVar Ball? Right?
You are. Never lost. I think my favorite so far was Ringmaker, like the Ringmaker podcast. I think that's cool.
Yeah.
You don't like it?
Because it's where Lord of the Rings podcast.
Oh, actually, I messed up already.
No, Ringmaker, like Kingmaker. Like Mav exactly. Carter is a Kingmaker. Mm-hmm. Rich Kleiman is trying to be a Kingmaker.
Yeah.
No, we'll workshop it a little bit. We'll get you guys something good. But if you have thoughts.
We want to talk about players and make them into ring wearers. That sounds stupid.
It sounds dumb. Like so Lord of the Rings-y. Anyway, we'll work on it.
Yeah, we'll work on it. But okay, guys, before we go, just want to plug a couple of things. Number one, thank you for joining us for episode 1. I know this was kind of all over the place, but this is who we are as people. Please love us as you love anybody. As Tyler Rooker always loved to say, ELE, everyone love everyone, right? So please continue to support our pod and all that we're doing. Continue to support the No Ceilings NBA Podcast Network. We've got, look, we love our fans. We love our listeners. We love our supporters. We are dropping content every single day. And remind you guys, college basketball season hasn't even started. We're 7 days away. We're a week away now. Maybe 6 by the time you hear this, maybe 5. Don't know. But we're getting closer and closer. But we're dropping content every single day. This week on the website, we're continuing our series of conference previews. I believe the SEC one went out earlier this morning. Also, we're dropping written content every single day, whether it's Stephen Gillespie on the weekend with Weekend Warrior, Nathan Grubel with his morning dunk, or Maxwell Baumbach, whoever. We've got guys dropping content every single day, including myself, who will be dropping a piece on Thursday. As I mentioned earlier, shameless plug again, please read it, because when I write, it's good. Is not something I should ever say, but please listen to it. We really appreciate all of that. And also, guys, as a reminder, this pod, we're going to have different hosts every single week. So continue to tune in. And like our written work, we have pods dropping every single day. Also, make sure to follow us on our socials. We are on TikTok. We had a video last week, have like 80,000 views. So we're growing and followers are growing. Follow us on YouTube as well. Our YouTube channel and our YouTube shorts have been doing great as well. Follow us everywhere, because the more No Ceilings content you have in your life, the better your life will be, is something a really smart man once said to me, but it never happened. But yeah, before we go, Josh, if you can plug yourself one last time and then we will leave.
Yeah, this has been Josh Lee. At Josh Spice on Instagram, on Twitter is Leezy Pass, L-E-E-Z Pass, P-A-S-S.
Brilliant.
LAFC, my club, my one true love, is playing in the MLS Cup final this Saturday. Well, wish us luck. Send us power. Send us prayer. Send us magic, and we'll prevail. And I also have another soccer kind of culture podcast called FCFC Pod. FCFC Pod. That talks about the culture of Los Angeles and the culture of soccer through a black and gold tinted lens, as we like to say. So, yeah, listen out for that. Look out for that. And excited for what this podcast turns into. Yeah. I feel like it combines a lot of my love. So, including Albert, who I love.
Love me. Love Albert. All right, guys, we appreciate you rocking with us this week. We'll be back in a couple of weeks. And until then, stay beautiful, because Josh really loves his beautiful people. All right, we love you guys. Peace.
Handsome.